Welcome back to the Voices of Women Summit, where in honor of International Women's Day 2025, we are raising the voices of hundreds of women so their messages can be heard. Your host for this session is Kimberly Crow. Kimberly is a visionary leader, a powerhouse speaker, and the founder of the Voices of Women Summit. She's dedicated to helping entrepreneurs and coaches take the stage, share their message, and make an impact. With her signature energy, passion, and a whole lot of fun, she's got another amazing guest coming right up. Take it away, Kimberly. Hey, folks, we're back. And this time I have the beautiful and talented Amber Mays with us. Amber's going to be talking about a really important topic for International Women's Day, Unstoppable: 5 Strategies for Women Leaders to Succeed in Biased Systems. Welcome to the program, Amber.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. It is fabulous to be here. I was just saying that I've learned so much already today from all the wonderful women.
It's been a really big day already. I don't even know if we're halfway through. We might be halfway through by now. I don't know. It's a long day for me. Exciting stuff. All right. Fantastic. Well, we're going to get into this topic, but before we do, can you just tell us your story? How did you become so passionate about this particular area?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I'll start with the personal. I was born and raised by two parents who were very culturally different. My dad is Black from Georgia, the state, not the country. And my mom was from Greece originally, so first generation immigrant. So I grew up in a multicultural, mixed race household in a very multicultural neighborhood. My parents used to do work in intercultural communication. So in some ways, it was kind of in my DNA to then eventually become a consultant teaching leaders to be more equitable and inclusive and really create cultures where people could bring their best, no matter what their background was. Educationally, I have a psychology background and organization development background. I've been doing coaching and consulting for 25 years. And just in the last, I would say, 5 or so years, I shifted to doing mostly one-on-one coaching for leaders in marginalized identity groups. So that's women, that's BIPOC folks, that's LGBTQ+, that's people living with disabilities, et cetera. And the reason I did that is because I found that these leaders, very talented, brilliant people, kept bumping up against ceilings and blocks to be successful. So they had limited opportunities, inability to be promoted, faced microaggressions of all kinds, telling them they shouldn't be who they are or how they were. Or they had to change to succeed, be more assertive, only to be told you're being too aggressive or angry or any of those things. So that's just been my personal passion ever since, is to just really make help leaders become successful no matter what the bias is in the system. I'm just curious, before we get going, how many people have had some experience like that? So, you know, something like a microaggression or being told that they're too assertive or that they should change who they are to succeed, maybe be more like men, et cetera. If that's happened to you, yeah, great. We've already got Ray. Thank you, Lori. Oh, I mean, a lifetime of experience? Yes, thank you. I think most of us have, right? So we have personal experience with that. And that's what I'm passionate about, is how do we deal with those hurdles and how do we still manage to be successful?
Yeah, it seems like it's definitely resonating with this group. Either they raise their hand or thumbs up, or they put it in the chat. I can relate. Christina says, yes, yes, yes. Marilyn says, me. Lori says, for sure. Kathleen says, I wish they'd said it to my face. It was whispered on my back. Ooh, that's tough, right? Because you're like, ooh, yeah, I had one of those. I had, I had a kind of a big one with my corporate office. I won't get into it. But yeah, I did. I had a lot of whispers behind my back. Excellent, exceptional question. So yeah, absolutely powerful. Share with us what's next.
Yeah, so I'm going to share a few strategies that I have found have really helped leaders over the years. And these come from leaders that I've worked with and also my own personal experience. What I think about when I think about being successful, first, I want to define success. For me, success means being having the leadership impact you want and the life that you want, right? So it's a whole success system is the way I think about it. And we need to be intentional when we are in marginalized identity groups to create, I think of it as like a bubble, like a system around us that is healthy, that's vibrant, that's working for us within the greater system of bias so that we're able to navigate. And so that's basically what I'm going to talk about is just five strategies that where you can do that. So,
And I love that. I love that you're giving us back the control, right? It's not. And that way we can operate without being victimhood and stuck in that. Like they did it to me and now I can't, right? Is a way a lot of us think sometimes. This has happened to me and now I'm not able to. So what are five strategies that we can use to assert ourselves in bias systems?
Yeah, thank you. So one thing I want to say is bias isn't going anywhere, right? It's human. We're all biased. If you have a brain, you have bias. And so what happens is humans create systems that reflect bias, right? So that's going to be there. So then the question becomes, what do we have control over? And the first strategy, it's a big one. And I say this is non-negotiable. So this is examining the internalized beliefs that you have taken in from your experiences, from what people have told you about yourself based on any one of your social group identities. So for example, if you believe that you have to work 10 times harder than men to succeed, you end up burning the midnight oil and, you know, really exhausting yourself and you could hit burnout, right? Like beliefs drive behaviors, drive results, right? That's one example. You might believe that you can't succeed because no one like you has done it before, right? That's a belief that many of my clients have come to me with. And if that's the case, then you might not even give yourself the chance to see if you can, right? So things like that.
I love this. And I feel, I have had a lot of good fortune. I've certainly climbed a corporate ladder. I was an executive director and I saw all kinds of stuff, right? Then I started my own business and I've had success with that. I really enjoy my life. There was one day where I realized people were talking about finances, and then they talked about investing, and then they talked about stock trading, and then they talked about something else. And I realized that when they got to the word stock trading, I was like, oh, that's not for me. And I realized that I thought it was for boys. And it just came to me all of a sudden. I was like, nobody told you that. I just believe that. Like, I was like, oh, stock trading, that's for boys. And as soon as I realized it, it was a shock. And then I was like, oh, what am I going to do about that? And I thought, okay, well, I'm a big universal law believer. So I was like, well, I'm just going to have to allow something in that's going to change that. And within 2 weeks, I met a woman who teaches people, women and men, how to trade stocks. And so I took the class, I learned, and I started stock trading. And I was like, but you had to look at the belief that was there. I didn't even know it was there. Like, I didn't even know it was inside there until it came up that one time. I was like, wow, is that kind of how they sort of are below the surface operating all the time?
Absolutely. And they're sneaky, right?
Like, yeah.
You realize it's there. So, and you said something interesting, which is no one ever told me that. Well, there are a lot of micro messages, you know, that you're getting through the media, through who you see, you know, being represented in positions, right? It all seeps in. It's all hanging out in there, right? So we have to really do an inventory of what are the things specifically that we have decided to believe and then we haven't checked, you know, that are getting in our way. And then the other way this inner work that really needs to happen shows up is inner critic stuff, right? Like, who do you think you are? You're not good enough. You know, don't get on that stage. You know, someone's going to say something. You're going to be embarrassed. Okay, so I just want to say this, and this has been said a couple times by folks today. This is our brain trying to keep us safe, right? That's what our brain does. That is really its major function. So we've got the fight, flight, you know, freeze, fawn, all of the things that that part does for us. It's in place for a good reason. And so what I have coached folks to do is to really pay attention to how do those messages come up and have a practice of being able to identify them and also interrupt and reframe them. There are a lot of different ways to do that, right? For me, one that has landed is I think of those voices as like younger parts of me, so that then I can be compassionate, you know, and say, okay, thank you, honey. You know, what is it that you're trying to tell me right now? Thank you so much for trying to keep me safe. And you know what? We're going to be okay, because we're adults and we're in the driver's seat now. And we're going to try this thing and let's see how it goes, you know, that sort of thing. But you need a practice. You absolutely have to be, you know, on top of that. It's non-negotiable. Inner critic voices, anybody, if you have it, put an IC in the chat box. I have yet to meet anyone who has no inner critic voices. So yeah, what we need to do is we need practices to be able to interrupt them and reframe them.
That's great. So do you have those practices, or do you have a suggestion for us?
Well, yeah, I mean, for me, I think one of the most important things is to work with a coach or a therapist, but there are so many ways to be able to identify and interrupt thoughts. I've actually been trained in something called positive intelligence, which is a really simple, I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Not everybody is, though, so go ahead and explain.
Yeah, no, it's great. You can look it up online, positive intelligence. But really what they're talking about is a similar concept where we have saboteurs, right? People pleasing, hyperachieving, all of those things that get in our way. And the work is to interrupt it in the moment and not go down the spiral of what your neural pathways have kind of ingrained in you, right? The stories that you make up and the wallowing and all the things that happen there, right? Again, they come from an important place, but we need a practice like that. That could be mindfulness, you know, it could be a reframing process that you use. I have a lot of different tools that I use with folks to be able to do that. So lots of them. It's a whole other talk, Kimberly.
All right, fair enough. What's number three?
So define success on your terms. This is the one that I think is also sneaky. So if you have been told, you know, as a woman, for example, that success means you have to have kids, you have to get married to a man, you have to act like a man to get to the top, right? All of those things. We get contradictory messages all the time, actually, about what success is.
But we have to do them all.
We have to do them all at once. Exactly. Have everything. You can do it all. You can't do it all at once, right? I think that quote's been attributed to multiple people, including Oprah, I think Madeleine Albright, and there's another one that I'm not coming up with right now. But so if that's the case and you haven't really defined for yourself what success is, then most likely you're walking around with someone else's narrative of what success is, right? And you really need to sit down and dream big. And that's why the beliefs are so important, because we've got to work through some of those to be able to actually have the success that we're looking for.
I love it. Okay. So make sure that you define success on your own terms. There's, I think it's Brené Brown, who has done two TEDx's, and I love her. She actually had a book, and I listened to audiobooks, so it's actually her speaking. And so she's got this part in her book where she says, you remember the commercial for Anjali perfume many years ago? It was Anjali, I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in the pan, and never let you forget you're a man, you know, and all of these different things. And it went on and on. And she goes, I don't know how much perfume it sold, but it probably moved a lot of antidepressants.
I am sure. That's great.
And yeah, if that's the definition of success, and we all have to live it. Well, I don't think our generation didn't have to live with that so much as maybe our parents' generation. But gosh, yeah. I mean, defining success on our own terms, what is success for you, right? And it's not what your parents want. It's not what your kids want, or even your boss wants. It's what you can define as success. Amber, I don't know who needed to hear this today, but somebody in our audience definitely needed to hear it. Awesome. Let me know if it was you in the chat. Okay. Yeah, so definitely. I forget what number we're on. Is that number three?
That's number three. There's another part that I want to comment on that you just raised, which was finding someone with your identities who has done what you want to do. You just mentioned you found a woman who was doing that, right? It's telling your brain, this is possible for me. So for example, I just got married. I'm 51. I didn't end up having kids. And at some point in my life, I had a mentor, which is another tip, find a mentor, who shared with me how happy and how successful and how she was thriving. And she hadn't had kids and she was doing great. And so she became my role model. I was like, this is what I'm doing. And, you know, so that's important. We got to find people that we can connect with who can be our mentors or just be our role models in general.
In that vein, I actually have a woman in our community. Her name is Tiffany Sims, and she runs a podcast. And the people who speak on it are intentionally without children women. Mm-hmm. Is it like, I didn't, and it was by intention, and I don't have kids, something over there. And we have to have that podcast because there's that stinging belief that if you didn't have it, maybe that's your incomplete somehow, maybe, I don't know. So yeah, absolutely. Find a Shiro. I like that. She says, find a Shiro who's done what you want to do and lived it that you can learn from. I love that. Great tip.
Yeah. I have no kids. I have a puppy. I love a lot.
It's great.
You know, there are more and more women choosing that. Right. And I think that comes from being able to define what success is for you. And so the last strategy, I think just as important as the inner work. What I'll say is if you don't do the inner work, then the success that you attain is not sustainable, right? Because you end up going back and reverting to where you were before, right? All those beliefs drive the actions. I rolled it in. Someone asked what was number four, which was find a mentor. So that was a part of the last one. And then the last piece is about building a reciprocal support network. And what do I mean?
I've never heard anybody teach on that before. I'm so behind that. I love this so much. Okay. The mic is yours. I'm turning my mic off because I'm so glad you're saying.
You are natural. That's what we're here to do, right? Like, this is what you have created here, Kimberly. I mean, I can't say this enough. So, and I think there's a couple of ways this shows up. One is, sure, absolutely, find people in your identity group who, you know, so other women, if we're talking about gender, right? Thinking about who it is that is someone I can just sit with who gets it, who has empathy for what my lived experience is. I don't have to explain it. I just show up. I be me. I'm affirmed, right? In the greater society where I'm not affirmed, I think this is absolutely critical that people do that. And if we're going to come together as women and support one another, there's also intersectionality. So within our unity as women, we have all kinds of differences, right? By race, by sexual orientation, ability, age, etc. And so we also need to have allies across difference and to be able to work on our own bias and understand how to build effective relationships across difference. We need each other. We are a collective. We are interconnected, no matter how much the myth of individualism is out there. It's a thing. Right. So the last piece I'll say is that allies with people. So for us as women, you said this earlier today, there are many fabulous men out there who are not only excited to support women, but they're actively doing so. And so, you know, and a lot of them are in positions of power. So, you know, have allies that can actually make effective change. Right. That's all people, but to really think about, you know, where are the people who are in dominant groups that actually can work with us to, you know, create the success that we're looking for.
I love it. Everything that you just said, she's not wrong. That was beautifully, beautifully put together. Amber, I love this. I can't believe I've never had you speak before. I'm so glad we connected now because I'm putting you on everything I have now. This was really, really powerful stuff. I think it really takes, we get the power back. That we have been, I guess, I hesitate to say giving away, but kind of, and we get an opportunity to take action in a world that is biased. And, you know, the principle of we have to eliminate bias is just bordering on ridiculous, right? It's not going to happen in our lifetime. It may happen over time, but there will be bias in different ways. So we, you know, just saying we're going to stamp it out forever, that may not be successful in our life. So five strategies for women leaders to succeed in biased systems. I love this. Can you go through them one at a time again?
Sure, absolutely. So we've got examine internalized beliefs, both what you believe is possible for yourself and those inner critic sneaky voices. Define success on your own terms. Find people with your identity. So in this case, women who have done what you want to do. So it tricks your brain, helps your brain know that it's possible. Unite and build a reciprocal support network and find a mentor. Those were the five.
I love it. Thank you so much. This has been gold. I hope you all took a lot of notes. Amber, you actually do have an amazing gift for our audience. This is a success plan assessment called the Marginalized Leader Success Plan Assessment. So if you guys just took the other assessment, here's another one. We're going to put this in the chat right now. Click on it and let us know that at least it opened on your machine. I don't know if you'll have time to take the whole thing. How long does it take and when should they take it? Do they need to set aside some time to focus?
It shouldn't take you that long. It actually should take maybe 10 minutes. You might want a little more time to write your reflections, but I would say 10 to 20 minutes. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So open it on your computer so that you will have it there when you are finished and you can focus and you have some time to be able to focus on it, and make sure that you get a chance to take this so that you can get your assessment results back. This has just been an amazing talk. I have been blown away. Have you given this talk many other times, or is this a fresh talk for you?
This is a fresh talk. This is the first time.
Let's get it out everywhere.
Thank you so much.
I love it so much. Okay, great. The world needs this talk in a big way. Super excited that you came today. She is one of our diamond speakers. You can follow her in a variety of different ways, but you can also grab our book, Voices of Women book, that is going to be coming out in a couple months, because her talk, this one, will be within it. Very excited about that. Thank you, Amber, for spending the day with us. Before we let you go, our next speaker up is Tara Nolan. She's going to be speaking about soul speaking and heart-centered sales. I love her stuff. You're going to really enjoy her. But before we let you go, Amber, any final words for the crew?
Final words. Absolutely. The system will continue to be biased. There's so much work that needs to continue to be done at that level, and that will continue. And in the midst of all that, make sure you develop an intentional success system. It's not selfish at all. It's better for all of us. It makes us all thrive.
An intentional success system. I love it. Words to live by. All right, Amber, thanks so much for being here. Everybody, we will see you back at the bottom of the hour. This has been a great session. I hope you took a lot of notes. I'll see you soon. I'm Kimberly Crow. Cheers.
Thanks, everyone.
Wow, that was an amazing speaker. For replays of this talk and all the talks, plus an incredible gift bundle, upgrade to VIP now. If you have any questions or problems during the summit, you can always email our support team at support@voicesofwomensummit.com. Stay tuned. We have another fantastic speaker coming right up.